his knees and...
Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Wow. And I really appreciate Shamini and Richie with the youth as our youth leaders. I know last Wednesday they had to bring out extra chairs and everything, and it was awesome. So can pray, you know, pray for our youth, right? That's the future of our church. And we obviously want to see young people get saved, right? We want to see people raised in the church too, right? Learning the things of God. So awesome to be with you. And I just want you to know this morning during our prayer, we prayed for you. We had really a powerful time of prayer. And I was just thinking of it as I was preparing and reading different scriptures. I was reading a scripture where Paul says, hey, man, because of your prayers, God's favor was on our life. Isn't that amazing? So I was just looking at that and Paul talking about the strength, the power of prayer. So I was praying, we were praying for you this morning that whatever your need is in the Lord, that God can and will, by faith, God can and will provide for that, give an answer, strengthen you, open your eyes and ears so we could hear him a little bit better. Amen, in this day and age. Do you agree with that, saints? Amen and amen. Good. And been praying as we've been seeing everything, the craziness in our world with the Roe versus Wade and everything that's been going on there. Amen. That looks like that abortion could become illegal, or I should say, maybe correct, go back to the states and let the states determine that. Amen. As God to save lives. And just the stories I'm hearing of, I always want to bring it up, of God healing young ladies and young men's hearts that have been involved in that and the experience that, oh, how he restores, man. He's a restorer. Not 50%, not 70%, not 90%, but 100%. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. So keep that in prayers. God continues to move. So this morning, the title of my sermon is called, keep me down just a little bit. Thank you, Tyler. Just a smidge. Thank you, brother. Appreciate your help. Two families, one choice. Two families, one choice. And so it's on Abraham. We're going to spend a few weeks, I think, on Abraham. And understand this, that whether if you're a religious person or if you don't know God or love God at all, we're going to find out you're in one family or the other. Or you have a mixture. And when you have a mixture of that, it's called confusion. So I'm excited, Lord, you would help me to relay this by your Spirit. So we thank you for that, God, today. We thank you, Father, that we are awake and alive and hungry for you this morning, for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. You know, so Abraham, when he was called, Abraham lived in what's modern-day Iraq. And so God, I'm going to kind of skim through these things and we'll read some scriptures. And God shows up and says, hey, to Abraham, leave this place and go to a place that I will show you. So that's kind of how where the story picks up with Abraham. Go to, you know, get up and go. I want to take you to a land that I'm going to show you. So the first point is God says go. He said go. And so Genesis chapter 12, that's an easy book to find. It's the first book in the Bible. I'm being serious, just in case you don't know. Right? The beginning. It says, Genesis 12, 1 and 3, it says, Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you, this is important, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Let me say that again. And in you, Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Amen? That's why I like calling this family church. Because really, as brothers and sisters, if you know Christ, we're family. You've heard me say it. We have aspects in the body of Christ that are army-like, but I don't call you corporal. And you don't call me sergeant, right? It says we're brothers and sisters in Christ. So we're the family of God. Let me just say this morning, welcome to the family of God. Amen? And so he says, all families will be blessed. And so he says, hey, you're going to Abram at this time, you're going to have a child. This promise is going to go come through a son. And this is how this is going to happen. Out of your own body, fruit of your own body, Abraham, but this time Abram and Sarai, you're going to have a child. The problem is it doesn't happen for a while. And a matter of fact, my second point is Abraham and Sarah got tired of waiting. You ever got tired of waiting for anything in your life? I go back, to be honest, I remember going back many decades ago and some issues in my life that I couldn't seem to get victory over. Some real struggles in my life, and I kept saying, God, when? God, when will this change? Lord, when will this change? When will I understand what it is to walk with you? When will I understand freedom in my life? And so I tried and tried and tried, and it wasn't until I discovered the grace of God that I understood freedom. So going decades saying, God, when? And kind of similarly, Abraham, he loved God, following God. God gives him these problems, and they start saying, when? So Abraham and Sarah go to this land, receive a promise of a child. As the years go by, the promise is not fulfilled, and they just kind of start giving up. They start giving up. And so number three, Sarah has this brilliant idea. You ever had brilliant ideas? And when they fail, you ever had your wife or somebody said, well, that was brilliant. We're going to read about one of those right now. That was brilliant. So in Genesis 16, 1 through 5, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not borne him a child, but she had an Egyptian slave woman whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, see now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please have relations with my slave woman. Perhaps I will obtain children through her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. And so after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, so how long has he been waiting for this promise? And mind you, he's already getting older. So when God called him out, he was no spring chicken already. You know, he's like 75 years old. What I love about that is when God speaks to us, age doesn't matter. Amen. It says that, you know, this outer kind of can wear out day by day, but the inner man is renewed every day. Amen. So with the Spirit of God in you and I, it doesn't matter what age you are, God can finally fix some things in our, and it's things that are in our heart, our new heart, things that are still damaged, or we allow to be damaged, regardless of our age, young or old, it doesn't matter. Isn't that wonderful? Obviously, in the world system, he gets to a certain age, and it's like, we can't hire you. I'm sorry. You're getting too old. Right? Or this, or society, the world can make you feel like you're too old to matter. But not in God's economy. Not in God's world. That's not true even in the least bit. Amen? Isn't that awesome? And so, verse 3, and so after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife, Sarai, took Hagar the Egyptian, her slave woman, and gave her to her husband, Abram, as his wife. See, look at right now, he says, look, this isn't working out. So I have this great idea. My handmaiden. We know what God has said, but this is, we've waited so long, and their hearts have become so disappointed. He says, hey, just have this great idea. You marry my handmaiden and have children by her, but I'll pretend like they're my children. She'll have them, but I'll raise them like they're mine. So she has this idea. And so as we continue in verse 4, it says, then he had relations with Hagar, consummated their marriage, and she conceived. And when Hagar became aware that she had conceived, her mistress was insignificant in her sight. So what this is saying, Hagar started saying, you used to be the head gal around here. You used to run the show, but now I'm pregnant, and I have the promise inside me. See, I know you'd been trusting that God would come from you, and the promise would come from your own body, but it's looking like that God's favor's on my life. It's looking like this is going to happen through me. So she started to disdain her and said, I don't have to listen to you. I don't have to listen to your authority anymore. It looks like God's favor is now upon me, Sarai. So what happened? So Sarai said to Abram, may the wrong done to me be upon you. Isn't that interesting? So in her struggle, she says, Abram, I don't know what's wrong with you. I should have had a baby a long time ago. And I didn't, so this is on you. This is on you. All of a sudden, she has a baby. The problem isn't mine. It's yours. You're the problem here. Amen. So he says, I put my slave woman into your arms. But when she saw that she had conceived, I was insignificant in her sight. Things all of a sudden, because of this decision they had made, things changed rapidly. And so they, even though they had this promise of God, they were to trust in God, they made a mistake, they did some things on their own, because they forgot, or they had forgotten that promise. It no longer was real in their heart. They became discouraged. Amen. I know nobody here has ever done that, where you become discouraged because of things that you've done. Amen. See, the truth is, we go on here, there's many things that you and I have done, and if the enemy can convince us, they can say, because of those things, these promises, those dreams, those visions cannot no longer come true. And so we have that family number one now. This family number one we're going to call self-effort, because they had been waiting on God and they got tired. She says, here, take my handmaiden. She becomes his wife. And so now that's the family number. We have a family number one. And we're going to see about family number two, which we're going to call trust. And so she has this baby boy, or she's pregnant with Ishmael. And then God talks to Abraham about, no, this isn't where the promise is going to come from. This is not how I am going to be blessed or be a blessing to all families across this nation. And so when God again says, hey, this isn't where the promise is going to come from your effort, this is how the man of faith responds. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, give birth to a child? And Abraham, his name has been changed at this point. God changed his name. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. He's saying, God, I've waited beyond waiting. Man, let this promise, let this, what's going to take place in my life, come from my own effort. See, Lord, I see the results on my own efforts. I can see Ishmael. He's my son. Can't it just come through that? Just can the promise of what you've shown me when you said, look at the stars. If you can number them, then you can number those that are going to come after you. If you can count the sand on the seashore, then you can count what's going to come after you as far as your people and the nations. And so when he's come to the point, he says, Lord, let it just happen through this. It's become confusion. I've waited so long. Lord, can it just come through my own efforts? Can it just come through that? And so as we see these two families, we're going to see this family that we're going to get to read some powerful scriptures right now. We have this family of that he had through his own efforts. And then he's still waiting on a promise of what God said would be through faith. So he says, and give birth to a child. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. But God said, no, no, Abraham. But your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you shall name him Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. He starts talking about this covenant. See, truthfully, we have two covenants. These two families that we're going to talk about in a second represent two covenants. It's shocking what we're going to read, what Paul said. A covenant is based upon your own efforts and your own strength. And this covenant that came through trust and faith that Abraham had in God. He had tried his own ways. He had tried to make it happen because of him waiting and growing weary. But in God's love, even God's goodness, he said, no, Abraham. Even in those mistakes, he said, I'm sorry, that's not how it's going to be. The promise is going to be through faith. You're going to have to trust me, Abraham, even though you're one old dude, is how we would say that in modern English. And she is one old dudette, 90, that the promises of God are always yes and amen. Thinks the promises of God are always yes and amen. And even when he said, God, can you, I'm tired of waiting on this. Can't it just be Ishmael? Can't it just be him? I mean, I see him. That makes sense. But what you're telling me to trust in does not make sense. It doesn't make sense. So God just flatly says no. So after waiting 25 years, we eventually have two families. We have two sons now from one bad idea. So Hagar has a vision for her son first, right? That's the firstborn. She says, he'll be the promise. He will be the first heir. He will receive the inheritance. He will lead the family in the future. So through Hagar and her son Ishmael, after all, this is interesting. Ishmael had 12 sons, by the way, from which we get the Arab people. And by the way, God loves the Arab people. I'm not saying that at all, but from his ideal, we get 12. He has 12 sons. And his 12 sons, and then through Sarah, which was the promised one, she had Isaac, we get the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel. So we have on one hand the self-effort, the do-it-yourself, and tell you that we still have that today. It's called Islam. It's called your righteousness is based upon your efforts. Your righteousness is based upon your prayers and what you do or don't. And to be honest, we're going to find out that's exactly what the law is. That's exactly what the law is. So Hagar had this vision of my son is first, and he'll lead the family in the future. And then obviously we had the promise. No, it's going to come through Isaac. So we have Isaac and Ishmael. And so the following scriptures, if you'll stay with me, I promise we're headed somewhere. The following scriptures were absolutely, we got to put ourselves, understand that, and don't let, think about this. The scriptures were written for us, but not to us. As an example, we're going to read in Galatians. I'm a Christian like the Christians in Galatia, but he was writing to them for a specific reason. There had been those who had come in who were saying, hey, guys, sorry, but you're going to have to get circumcised. And you're going to have to start following. And that's when Paul says, hey, you're going to have to start following the whole law. So understand this, all these things that Paul is talking about, he's talking about this circumstance and the situation that was going on in the Galatian church, okay? So we're going to have to, and sometimes I've learned that if I put myself in the circumstances that they were in right there, if I can see how they felt about that, what was going on, and how the people around them responded, it can actually open my eyes. So the following scriptures were absolutely shocking when written. It was things like these things that were written and spoken by Paul that caused the Jews to persecute him and want to kill him. Paul used the word allegorically in the following story, or the story he gives. It's used only once in the Bible. So the meaning of this word allegorically, meaning he takes a story out of the Bible and says, let me tell you what this story means in a different way. Let me give you a spiritual context of this story. And so he's going to take this Hagar, that's why I read about Hagar and Ishmael and Isaac, right? And Sarah and Isaac. And he's going to say, let me show you what this really means. And it's almost shocking if you put yourself in their boots. Let's start Galatians 4:21. He says, tell me, you who want to be under law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons. So we've read about that, two sons. One by the slave woman and one by the free woman. But the son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh. Self-effort. My own righteousness, making God's plan work for my life, in other words. And the son by the free woman through the promise. Through the promise. Galatians 4. And then verse 24 says, this is speaking allegorically. This is where he starts. For these women are two covenants. It's still the same today. This hasn't changed. There's two covenants, which is represented by two families. Are you sticking with me almost? Two families, two covenants. One coming from Mount Sinai. This is incredible. One coming from Mount Sinai, giving birth to children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Now, this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is enslaved with her children. But he's talking about Mount Sinai. What happened at Mount Sinai? The law was given. He takes Hagar and Abraham, and he says, allegorically, Hagar represents the law. Isn't that amazing? It represents your efforts. It represents your righteousness. It's your way of saying, I'm making things happen, God. Are you happy with this? It's this way of just blazing your own trail. And what he's saying here is, he says, that is still what's going on in Jerusalem right now. He's saying, Jerusalem, everybody who's born and everybody who's fallen the law, is a slave. Could you imagine him saying that and that getting back to Jerusalem? I'm telling you, at that time, even the church, the Christians in the church in Jerusalem didn't understand that. Didn't understand that the revelation that he had about being saved by grace and the power of God and what faith does in a believer's life. And so he says, even today when they're born, they are born slaves under the power of sin and self-effort. And so he was saying this to them. There's what he was saying is, if you are so enthralled with the law and being like the Jews, he says, you're going to have to do it 100%. And nobody can do it 100%. He says, matter of fact, let me tell you about this analogy between Hagar and Sarah, that they are born completely under the bondage of sin and the curse of the law. Amen. Then he goes on, but he says this, but the Jerusalem above is free. Wow, she is our mother. The Jerusalem above, you've read in Revelation, it says the new Jerusalem would come down. Right? A matter of fact, you know, we know God's going to return, but you know, when this world is burned up, did you know that not only this whole world, but Jerusalem as it stands right now will be burned up? There won't be anything left. There'll be a new Jerusalem, a new godly kingdom that'll come down from heaven. You know, sometimes I've learned, you've heard me say that, people will come and say, hey, I was baptized in the Jordan, so I experienced something super special. I'm not being rude, but I say hogwash. Because I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. I got some special clothing that I can show you that was worn by like priests in Jerusalem. And because I'm wearing this, there's a special anointing. If these tassels isn't that. I'm here to tell you that's absolutely hogwash. See, the same way that the Jews have to come to Christ today is the same way that I came through them, and that's putting their faith in Jesus Christ. And I don't believe in a replacement theology. I'm not saying that at all. Paul says in Romans that the full number of the Gentiles shall come in, and then all of Jerusalem shall be saved. I'm just saying that they're coming in and being saved exactly the same way you and I are. And what he's saying right now, even in Jerusalem, if they don't believe in Jesus Christ, they're a child of Hagar. And that's what he was saying. And boy, did that make them mad. In Acts 21, when he came back into Jerusalem because he wanted to go to Rome, that he spent 2 years in prison because they did everything they could to kill him before he went off onto Rome before Caesar. Under the law, under the Hagar, the two families I'm talking about today is under your own efforts, under what you can do, and the other one is through, just like Abraham, believing in God. It was just, he was given God's righteousness, which is also grace, God's grace. Let me continue. So, but the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, infertile one, you who do not give birth. You that can't save yourself. You that don't have any righteousness. It says to rejoice. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one are more numerous than those that have a husband. Then 28. And you, brothers and sisters like Isaac. Did you hear that? Brothers and sisters like Isaac. Like Isaac. Joint heirs, father Abraham. As we continue, living it under a covenant like Abraham. Living it, it's amazing that Paul says here that this covenant that the Jews were living on right there under the law, he was saying they were living under the family of Hagar. Isn't that amazing today? When you hear the things that he said, that would be shocking. That would be shocking. And you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. Say, children of promise. I'm a child of promise. But as at that time, the son who was born according to the flesh persecuted the one who was born according to the spirit. So it is even now. Did you know religion now will still persecute grace? I understand, because I used to be a persecutor of grace. While my own life was a mess, I didn't realize that I was living under a covenant of Hagar, trying to measure up. You know, it was not just what I was taught. I had so much pride. I didn't realize I had more pride. I can do this. And it ends up, what it does, it ends up you comparing yourself to others. And the persecution is that grace isn't enough. I need you to pick up your sock drawer so I can take a look, and I'll let you know if you measure up. That's not God at all. That's not God at all. No, that's not God. That's persecution. So always law and religion will persecute Abraham and grace. It was Israel even that when Jesus said, oh, how I wanted to gather you under my wings, like chicks under my wings, but you wouldn't have it. You killed the prophets. You killed those sent to you. Those who were that came for me, you killed. You drove them away. But God's desire was always to gather them to him. Even today in the country of Israel, God is saying, I'm gathering you through this new covenant, through the love of Jesus Christ, through the grace of God. Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. Amen. Amen and amen. Then I say, so what about the law? So what about the law? Do we need the law today? You know, if you have children, you better be teaching them some law. You like them stealing? Do you teach your children not to steal? You're teaching them the law. Do you teach them not to lie? Yeah, you're teaching them not to lie. You're teaching them the law. Do you teach them that, hey, when you get married, you should be faithfully sexually faithful, if I can say it right, to that husband and wife? You're teaching them the law. These things that we teach them, these are things that God wants to put in their hearts, that they'll walk according to truth. So don't tell me there's no law. What we see going on in our society is called lawlessness. People not, it's going nuts. That is not having a law within their heart to say, hey, having boundaries. Amen? So what about the law? Galatians 3, 23 and 26. But before faith came, say faith, we were kept in custody under the law. Kept in custody under the law. Being confined for the faith that was destined to be revealed. They were under custody saying, okay, you got to do this, you got to do that. You've got to follow this list. And really all it did, if you read the Romans, is it realized, they just realized, I can't do this. We can't follow these rules and regulations on our own. We can't follow these 614 laws. So before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being confined for the faith that was destined to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our guardian to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by what? By faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. What is the guardian again? The law. For you are all sons and daughters of God through what? Faith in Christ Jesus. I know I keep saying this, but it's either going to be a house that's of law, rules and regulations. I get it. We'll talk about it in just a second. We've got to raise our kids right. We got to know the difference of right and wrong. We need I have no problem with the Ten Commandments being in a courthouse. Man, we need people to see what's right and wrong. See, when I was younger, we just took it for granted that people were taught right and wrong. But that's not the case in schools anymore. That's not in case of many homes. So they're not knowing right and wrong. Those things are saying, hey, this is justice. This is what right and wrong looks like. I am okay with that. How about you? One thing is I can't do it myself. I can't do it. It's just a law looking at it and say, I can do this and earn his favor. I can't do that. So what does it look like? Galatians 3:23 says, before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being convinced for the faith that was destined to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our guardian to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So these two families, Ishmael, and self-efforts, the law, but really one choice, it's faith through love, grace. Can you put up those what I had sent you now, John, that PowerPoint? Let me just look at, because isn't life where we live at home where our life is? And God's love wants to be expressed in our homes. So Hagar representing the law, what's a law-based family look like? Well, rules are the priority. You know, I was talking to my mom the other day, and she was just like, she was raised, rules were the priority. It was just this, hey, if you want to make me happy, follow the rules. You don't follow the rules, I ain't happy. And many of us were raised in a home like that. So rules are the priority in a law-based family. How about in a grace-based family? Relationship is the priority. Relationship. See, now in walking with God's grace, it's relationship. It's no longer a set of rules and regulations of me. I'll say, okay, here, I've got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I feel like God has accepted me. If you didn't do any of that for a week, let me ask you, would God still accept you? I'm talking about different things that we do in our lives as far as our program, you want to call it, or study in God's Word or whatever. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those things. What I'm asking you is, if you didn't do that for a few days, would you still feel like he loved you? That you're his, I mean, either his child or you're not. We're either child and under the covenant of Hagar, or we're a child under the covenant of Sarah and Isaac, which was by promise. It was by complete trust. Complete trust. Complete trust. Relationship is the priority. See, God is about a relationship. When you understand that relationship, that's when you want to please your father. If you're trying to please him out of doing things just so he'll be happy with you, good luck with that. That'll grow weary. That's called a religion. And then you have to compare yourself to others, and whose rules are we going to follow? Relationship is the priority. Number two, control is how we stay in line. In the law-based family, control, I got to keep you in line. Well, it's not out of meanness, it's usually out of love. Maybe it's the way you were raised, or maybe that's just the way you think it has to be. So out of our love, we try to control. But out of grace, influence through love's guides, guiding our children. Letting them know and say, hey, this is why you don't want to do this. This is where this leads. Let me teach you about sowing and reaping. See, a lot of times you've heard me say that. A lot of things, people say, hey, God did this to me. And I'm like, no, you did that to yourself. You reap what you sowed. God didn't give you that DUI. That's an extreme example, I know. We could go on. Does that make sense? So influence through love guides. See, under the law, it says motivated by fear. But in God, in a grace-based home, motivated by faith. I used to always use that fear is the beginning of God's wisdom. and I had a great fear of him, but I had no confidence. And then John says that perfect love casteth out fear. Wow. See, my fear has been turned into confidence. It's been turned into I can come to him any time, any situation, anything I've done or not done, and then know that he's saying, "Come here. Come here. I'll hold you. I'll talk to you. I'm your father." We want to be motivated. We want to be in a home that's motivated by faith. Being a home by the law, there's no room for mistakes. There's no room for mistakes. But in a grace-based home, learn from our mistakes. Amen. That's how God is, too. And even in the struggle with sin, he's saying, "Hey, come on. Get closer to me. Let me show you how to walk in freedom." It'll be never by just by on your self-effort there. Learn from your mistakes. In a grace-based home, let's learn from our mistakes. How about five? God's law in the Hagar law-based home, God's law are the focus. In the grace-based home, God's heart is the focus. Man, he's a good, good father. I said he is a good, good father. A perfect father. A loving father. One of the biggest things sometimes for some people that haven't been from good homes or have been abused or been in abusive situations or relationships is understanding the heart of the Father. God's heart is the focus. Oh, how he loves you and I. His heart is for us to come into his freedom, come into healing and wholeness. Amen. Come into confidence in him. Amen. You know, I got the opportunity because we're part of Army, Association of Related Ministers International. I say that over and over because it took me a year to learn it. I'm very proud of myself. And so I was talking to a group of pastors. So I had to put something different together. As I was putting that together, I just realized, you know, as a shepherd, my job is, it's not to give you coping skills. No, my job is to bring the saints into what their calling is. Whatever that looks like, I don't know, God knows. To bring you into purpose, whatever the purposes are, up to the time when you grow old, 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 and you take your last breath. See, God made you for a purpose, all of us for purpose. And we'll pursue anything sometimes, but God-given purpose. I've learned as I've grown in him, and I say this many times that as I've grown in him, my heart, my desires of my heart have changed. I didn't get a chance to mention this, even though it was in my notes. I know it's purpose because if you go into a drug or alcohol rehab, the first thing they'll say, and it's crazy, they'll say 92% of you aren't going to make it. But I'm convinced if it was God, Christ-based, if they started talking about purpose, that's what will set people free. The purpose. People saying, "I was born for a reason. God has something for me. God's given me ability, the talents, and given me things in my life that are going to be expressing who he is." See, that my expression of who he is different than the expression, your expression, because we're different. Engineers think differently than somebody that is on the worship team. Different styles. He uses our personalities and different things. It's an expression of who he is. And it's different for everybody. That's what awesome. 1 Peter 4 says that he's given everybody a special gift and all these multifaceted graces of God to express his love. Wow. My calling here is that you would find what God has for you. Through pursuing him, it won't come from trying to do your best. It'll become by loving him, pursuing him, letting him grow you and strengthen you. And as you do that, you hear that things will start falling off. You'll start saying, "I don't want to be in that nonsense anymore. I'm coming out of that." Amen. That's good stuff. God's heart is the focus. Six, focus is external. How everything looks on the outside. Amen. With the Holy Spirit, focus is eternal, internal, meaning what he's placed in you. God's working, in Ephesians says he's working in me and through me. So the focus is not on the external, how I look and being impressive to everybody, but the focus is of what he's done inside of me. In the home of grace, we want to know what's going on inside you with our kids or people we know. Say, what's bothering you? Well, nicer way. Well, what's going on? Relationship. What's eating at you? What's the struggle you have? That's relationship. Let's talk about it. See, in a law-based home, it's like get over it and stand up and get going. See, there's no relationship being built. There's no learning to communicate with God. It's just suck it up and go forward. But as God teaches us those grace things, we're like, what's going on in the inside? Let's talk about it. Let's let God do a work. 7, the pressure to work for love. Amen. Anybody ever experienced that one? Pressure to work for love. 7, in the grace-based home, pleasure to work from love. And that's where those things, where the gifting abilities of God that's placed within you, that it becomes a pleasure, whatever God's placed in you to do it. Now you're doing it out of what he's placed in you, your desires that he placed within you. It's a pleasure to work from a point of already being loved. Hallelujah. Amen. Number 8, in the law-based family, Hagar, I work for God. In the grace-based home, God works in and through me. Amen. Doesn't that sound like a relaxing? Coming from a vantage point of I've already accepted. I'm not working to get accepted. That's already been done. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through Jesus Christ. And then when you know your love, when that's finally, when you're in the family of God, listen, you're either in the family of God or you're not. You either are or aren't. And then you're working through him will become through an acceptance and a confidence. Nothing like working for God or doing things for God through a confidence. Amen. Number 9, in the law-based family, joy is based upon a feeling. In the grace-based home, joy is based upon who I am already in him. And I've said, as you start growing in that, then it's like your emotions don't dictate to you how your day is going to go. You dictate to your emotions how they're going to go. Now the emotions aren't driving the train, they're the caboose. Get in the back. I'm walking in his joy and his strength already. As the worship team comes, amen. We got 2 covenants. There's the covenant of Hagar and the covenant of Sarah. And sometimes there can be a mixture. Amen? And when you have a mixture, that's when you get confusion. You can have usually in a home, you've got maybe a law-based parent and a grace-based parent, and the kid knows how to pit those two against each other. Anybody ever experienced that? And so the kids are like, they're like little attorneys. They pit that. You know, mom said, you know, dad, mom said I can't do that, or vice versa. So now they're arguing about it, and the kid just sneaks off and does what he wants. Here's the thing. We've got to have the law within our heart. This society needs it. It's true, you guys. Is adultery right or wrong? Okay. God changing me is going to be from inside. He writes his laws on my heart. There's one other scripture I missed. The Galatians 5:13 and 14, it says, for you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity to the flesh. But it says to serve one another through love. I love this. Here it is. It says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in one statement. This is Paul. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. God being love. As the love of God changes you, those things that you're trying to read and do just become part of your life. That's what it is. It's never about taking some things you read in the Bible and say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm telling you, your flesh will grow weary from that. What it is, say, God, thank you, love me. And those things that are already inside me, I pray that they would just come forward. It's because it's part of who you are. It's a part of who you are already. So this thing of, Lord, I don't want to be in the, I don't want to be in a covenant with Hagar where I'm dependent on my own righteousness or my own ideals or what I want to do. Lord, I want mine to be on those promises of God through faith. And there's always things in our lives, saints, even I think about family members that might be struggling. Look, it was 25 years until that promise came forward, came to pass. And there's things in my life that I'm still waiting on, but you know what? I know the promise of God are yes and amen is going to happen. I know those things are going to happen because I'm walking in by faith. I can't be detoured. I can't be discouraged. I already learned the hard way. I can't step backwards. Abraham could have just said, you know, this waiting around and hanging out in tents isn't that much fun. Let's go back home. See, that's how we know he would have given up if he wanted, would have went back home, right? But even though he struggled, sometimes murmured and complained, did his own things, even in that, because he didn't give up, God says, hey, that promise is still there. So number one, man, we can't give up. He loves us. Don't turn your back on him. Turn your face towards him. Amen? Even in the past Ishmaels that we've had in our own life, struggles, God didn't hold that over his head his whole life. Amen? But he remembers that you and I are flesh, dust. He knows we're not what we're dealing with. He knows we don't have our new bodies, that we still deal with this flesh. Amen? But he still loves us. So let's hang on to the promises of God. Trust him. Let's live in a grace-based home. Amen? Can you stand up with me? Amen. You still out there? Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you that we're children of Abraham. Lord, thank you that we're walking under the promises of God that are yes and amen, Father God. I thank you that I'm totally forgiven. If you've accepted Christ and you've applied his blood to your sins and ask his Holy Spirit to come in, you belong to him and continue to trust him. He'll do things beyond your wildest imagination. When he first started following God, he didn't know it was going to be 25 years, but he didn't turn his back. So the main thing is, man, Lord, I'm not turning my back on you. I don't care how I feel. I'm going to continue to trust you. I'm going to continue to believe. And I'm going to have a relationship with you that's based upon your love for me already. Amen. Hagar. Sarah. I'm going to go on faith. How about you? I'm going to go on trusting in him. I'm going to be in a grace-based home. I said, I'm going to live in a grace-based home. Doesn't mean I don't still have to say to the kids once in a while, hey, you better listen. That wooden spoon doesn't feel good. But I love you. I'm for you. It's not dependent upon your behavior. You're my child. Amen. We belong to him, so we thank you for that today, Father God. Lord, I just say, any of those, if in your heart, if you're struggling this morning, this is what I say. Lord Jesus, I give that situation to you. Lord Jesus, I give that situation to you. Lord, I give that struggle to you, and I thank you for your peace and your strength. Lord, that thing that eats away at me, Lord, I give it to you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how he loves you and I, saints. Oh, thank you, Lord, for God-given purpose. Amen. Thank you for God-given purpose, Lord. Through the calling of God, those things that we were called to before we were even born, how we thank you, we love you, we praise you, we exalt you. Saints, can we lift our hands up and say, Lord, thank you for your goodness. Father, I receive of your goodness. Father, I thank you for the promises of God. Father, I thank you for the purposes of God in my life. Lord, I thank you for strengthening me. Thank you for revealing your love in a deeper capacity. adversity in my life. Father, thank you for showing up in different situations in my life. Father, thank you for holding my hand. Father, thank you for leading me. Thank you for being behind me. Thank you, Father, for a voice that tells me not to go left or go right, but to follow you straight ahead, Father God. I thank you for your leadership, Lord, in my life. I trust you as I'm a child of Abraham. Amen.
Yes.
So I thank you for that covenant I walk in with you today, Father. In Jesus' name we declare. In Jesus' name we declare. And all of God's people said, amen.